You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
This is the Daily Tip on the BetQL Network, presented by BetMGM.
Welcome back. Hour two of the Daily Tip from BetQL, presented by BetMGM. Great to have you with us on a Thursday. Michael Jenkins and Nick Ashew hanging out with you. Coming up here in the next hour. Oh, we got plenty of NBA to talk about. We're going to start in the Western Conference, followed by the Eastern Conference at 7:20. Then we're going to continue looking at the NFL draft at 7:40, along with which receivers could be selected in the opening round, and a lot of talent there. So I texted you guys this yesterday, and I went to my dentist.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Were you therapist again?
Okay, so 4 months ago, I went in for, like, I had Invisalign a few years ago, right? And so I just went in to get my retainers.
Your teeth look lovely, by the
thank
way.
You,
smile looks fantastic.
Thank you, Nick. And yours as well.
Thank you.
Yes, of course. So they give you these retainers to wear after you're done, right? You wear them overnight, then they get worn out, you get them replaced. So I went in to get a replacement, and that's when he slid up next to me, and I could tell he was going through a tough time.
Mm-hmm.
Going through a divorce. Some of his places around the city closed because of COVID. Now, I tried to be a sounding board for him in that moment. So yesterday, I go in, I get my teeth cleaned, and then he slides in at the very end, and I'm like, well, this is going to be interesting. And the first thing he says is, he goes, hey, how's it going, man? We got to grab a drink. And I'm like, yeah. I mean... I'm in a dental chair. I'm sitting there. I got the weird glasses on. I thought he was going to come and, you know, scrape the tooth a little bit and be like, the gums look good, whatever. He's like, yeah, you know, I've been wanting to do that more. Spend more time with you know, a buddy of mine or, you know, get out a little more. So, like, let's figure out a day. Like a Tuesday through Thursday, any one of those days. Does that work for you? And I'm like, yeah, I'm totally stunned here. Nice guy.
I get up quite early, but, you know.
That's what I said. I said, I'm generally in bed pretty early. He goes, no, you know, I just had a drink or two. You know, just random day of the week. I was like, yeah, sure. So we'll set it up. And so he's like, all right, we'll talk soon. I'm like, okay.
Do you have his number?
How
does that work? Does he have his receptionist call you?
I guess so.
I'm calling on behalf of Dr. Farad, and he would like to set up an appointment with you outside of the dental office at a restaurant. Where would you like to go? And he'd like to know what time.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't give him, but they have it. I've gotten calls from them saying we're reminding you of your appointment. So, nice guy. I think it is. Not to get too dark, but I think he's going through a rough time.
Yeah.
And I've been there, and I think he knows I went through a rough time.
Yeah.
Even though it's not like I gave him all the details, I think he just sort of put two and two together.
He remembered. You talked about it. And
yeah. And I think he was just like, oh, this guy can relate. He's been there. and which I can.
Right.
So I want to be there, but I will. At the same time, it's kind of caught me off guard.
I would say that that's gone above and beyond. You kind of told the story yesterday about how he's confided in you before.
Yes.
To now go to this level, that would catch me off guard too. But you know what? Dude sees you and says, "This Michael Jenkins guy, nice guy, great smile. You know, he seems like he's. I can confide in him. He can give me some advice.
I want to help."
While you sit there and go, "Yeah, he's good, right? Yeah, he's good, yeah."
Honestly, I would rather do that than listen to. God, I hope he's not listening. He's a very nice guy. I'll see you soon. But the assistant who is just like, you know, cleaning my teeth and saying the most mundane things in the world. Like, I'm sitting there staring up at the TV and I hear, "Oh, I just had to call my husband and remind him to mow the grass." I'm like, what am I going to say to this?
I don't know what it is. I saw somewhere that there's a reason why, like, dental hygienists talk to you while you're doing, I don't know if it's to make sure you're comfortable or like there is a reason why they do it. I don't know what it is, because every time I'm at the dentist, it's the same thing where it's like, I can't have a conversation with you. You literally have a spinny thing on my teeth right now, and you're asking me like how my day is going. It's just fine. This tickles a little bit now. Like, what am I supposed to do with that?
I agree.
Are you gonna get free dental work at least?
No, I still,
you know,
pay.
Free teeth whitening. Get the teeth whitening.
Nothing.
Gel? Gotta get some, man.
I'm just the sounding board of the dentist. Here's another blockbuster one. So, my son's T-ball league. I'm like,
no. Did he pull out pictures, too? Here's a picture of my family.
Oh, this is the woman cleaning my teeth. I'm like, guys, you are wearing me out. I'm exhausted. They're offering free signups, you know, to get more people to participate. Well, that's great. Fantastic.
I'm glad
the T-ball movement has not slowed down.
I think during the break, I'm going to Google it. I need to know why, because there is apparently a real reason why they talk to you, and I don't know what it is, and now it's driving me insane.
Yeah, we have to look that up.
Because it's just, it is. It's the most mundane, useless conversation that I don't need. It's small talk with somebody on an elevator, but you're stuck in a chair with something jammed in your mouth, and you're trying to have a conversation, and you don't want to, but you don't want to be rude. That's, you know what? That's why I hate the dentist. And they're all very nice where I go. Really nice people. They do a great job. I don't need to have a conversation.
I
talk for a living. I'm good. I don't really need to have, like, extra conversations that are there.
1,000. It's like when I get in an Uber or Lyft. I'm like, guys, it's nothing personal. I don't want to talk.
I will say, though, in other cities or other countries, I don't mind it because you learn a lot.
That's different.
Here, though, at home, I'm like, no. Of course, then they find out you're from D.C., and they're like, hey, and they want to talk politics the whole time. And I'm like, please stop. I don't want to talk politics at all.
1,000%. Let's talk a little NBA. Western Conference playoffs. We got a Friday play-in game. Kings at the Pelicans. The Kings are laying 1.5, Nick. The Kings are -120. The Pels are even money. The total set at 213.5. That total has come down from 215 and a hook. And now we know Zion Williamson out of this game with a hamstring injury. Obviously, a massive blow for the Pels. So, what am I missing here? Why are the Kings, with Zion Williamson out for New Orleans, why are the Kings only 1.5 favorite here?
The Kings are beat up, too, a little bit. And there's no Kevin Huerter, which is going to be a major problem for them. They've lost a lot of that three-point shooting. Malik Monk isn't going to be playing, and they haven't had Malik Monk out there for a while. So, look, Zion adds more to the Pelicans than Kevin Huerter and Malik Monk will add to the Kings, but the reality of it is the Kings aren't at full strength either, and they just haven't been as good of a team as where they were last year. You know, this was a team that was kind of on the rise. You looked at Sacramento and said, oh, look at the steps they've taken. Look at their offense. Look at the way they play. They're a fun team. Kings Twitter was the most annoying place on earth last year. I had my battles with them, mostly just ignored them because it is one of the largest cesspools on the internet. They were real cocky last year, the minute anybody ever doubted the Sacramento Kings and the future of the Kings, and now you look at them and they're real quiet this year, but the Kings just aren't the same team as to where they're not what they were last season offensively. Defensively, they've had their liabilities for a while, but when you look at still where the Pelicans are, this is going to be a Brandon Ingram game. This is going to be C.J. McCollum has got to be better than what he was in the last
game. He disappeared against the
Lakers. Disappeared. Points and assists went way under on that, especially with the regular season. And that's the thing. He was another one of those guys. Great end to the regular season. You get to the play-in, completely disappears. So it's got to be Brandon Ingram. It has to be C.J. McCollum as the two biggest names, the two most important players for the Pelicans if they want to cover in that game. But Sacramento being shorthanded is the main reason why that you're still looking at the line the way that it is.
And am I right in saying, and I found some statistics to back this up, but the first thing I thought was, I don't trust New Orleans in this spot. And I know you hear that all the time, like, yeah. I don't trust this team.
I've struggled with trusting New Orleans all year. I'm with you.
But in clutch situations, and again, there are numbers to back this up, they have been awful. In what the NBA defines as clutch situations, they're 13-15 overall. And I think I'm scarred from my experience in Vegas, which I've talked about when March Madness was going on. And I had the Pels against the Magic, and I'm looking at a TV like I'm craning my head because there's one rando TV on this game,
right?
And everything's going on, and I'm watching the Pelicans just throw it away. But in games where they should win or the game is close, they have not performed well, and they're maddeningly inconsistent. Like as far as player production, yes. Like maybe Zion performs, but then he's out, or Brandon Ingram is in, but he's out, or CJ McCollum can blow up, but then he can just disappear. And so I think I would lean Kings here, despite the fact they're not exactly 100% healthy either.
Yeah, the Pelicans are without Zion, obviously not the same team, and especially right. So Zion, they mentioned this on the broadcast last game, and I didn't realize that it was this extreme. He's lost 25 pounds since that loss in the semifinals of the in-season tournament to the Lakers.
Wow.
When they lost by like 45, and everybody's making fun of how fat he still looked.
Yeah.
He's lost 25 pounds. Zion has started to finally commit to fitness, to taking care of himself, to being a better player, personal chef, all of those things. And we saw the results. We watched, obviously, the way that he looked last game. I mean, put up 40 before he was injured. So that is a major loss for the Pelicans. I'm with you, though, in that the Pelicans, on paper, very talented team. But in reality, on the court, up and down, inconsistent,
yeah.
Game in and game out. And we just literally saw that last game. CJ McCollum, who's been one of the rocks for them, was then one of the worst shooters out there on the floor. Now, he wasn't Klay Thompson bad, but he was pretty
right.
Damn bad out there. And if you're not going to get an A-plus game from CJ McCollum and Brandon Ingram with Zion Williamson out, Sacramento is probably the way to go. A lot of that on the other side, of course, comes down to Domantas Sabonis and De'Aaron Fox, right?
Yeah.
Like those guys are also on the other side of things going to have elite games in that. I think that's a close game. I think that's a roller coaster, and I think that is a game that's based on runs, and whoever makes the final run in that game, that's going to be the team that wins.
On Saturday, we get the Suns at the T-Wolves. This should be a great series. The T-Wolves laying 1.5 in game one. They are minus 105 on the money line. The Suns are plus 105. Your total set at 214 and a hook. And this is interesting to me because I want to lean Timberwolves here, but if you look back at the season series, Phoenix dominated. They were 3-0 against Minnesota. So is this a situation where the T-Wolves over the course of a series can win, or does Phoenix just have their number?
It really comes down to, for one, if you're looking at Minnesota, Anthony Edwards and Karl-Anthony Towns. Karl-Anthony Towns back, but is he really healthy? Is there going to be rust? They wanted to get him some regular season minutes. He got it. Only averaged around 10 points a game, 5 rebounds, 5 assists when he came back. And the Suns consistently throw a little small ball at him. It's going to test him defensively. But then there's Anthony Edwards on the other side of things. By far, the worst performances of his season against this Suns team. 14.6 rebounds, wow. 3 assists a game in those regular season games. So if Anthony Edwards plays against the Suns the way that he did in the regular season in this series, that's it. Anthony Edwards is your alpha. The reason why the Timberwolves have taken that next step is not because of Karl-Anthony Towns. It's not because of Rudy Gobert. It's not because of Mike Conley. It's because Anthony Edwards is the alpha. He wants to be the alpha. And when you're in late-game situations, every team has got to have somebody where you put the ball in their hands in the fourth quarter and you say, go win us this game. They can do it. Create their own shots. Get to the basket. Knock down shots from the outside. Get to the free throw line. Whatever it is that you need.
Yep.
That is Anthony Edwards for the Timberwolves. It's never been Karl-Anthony Towns. We know that he's not the alpha. You've got to have Anthony Edwards playing at an elite level in this series if Minnesota wants to win it, because you're right. The Suns have owned them this year.
Yep.
And it's been a massive test all season long for Minnesota against Phoenix.
If you're looking long term at Phoenix in the futures market, and I've been bothered by the fact that, and I think this is because the name and the star power is built in, but they've been one of these shorter favorites to win the NBA title.
Yeah.
Up there with the Celtics and the Nuggets and the Timberwolves a little bit. And I'm like, why are these odds so short? And I think it's because obviously they have the big three, but Do they have the depth? Because I feel like, talk about inconsistent, the Suns certainly have the star power to beat anyone, but they traded away all their depth to bring in KD. They have, what, Royce O'Neal that they brought in? And that's about it. And sure, over one series, maybe they're fine. But over the course of a few series, particularly in that conference, you've got to have guys that can come off the bench and perform. I just don't think they have that.
I mean, Durant, Booker, and Beal missed 50 combined games this year. That's the first thing. They've got to be healthy. That's the simplest answers, right?
Yeah.
They've got to be healthy if they want to win, not just this series, but multiple series moving forward and actually go on a run. Grayson Allen, Eric Gordon are two guys that are really going to have to step up for them. And Grayson Allen just got paid. He got a $70 million deal, 4 years, $70 million. Like, he earned that contract.
Yeah.
He's there. He's locked in. There's a reason why the Suns paid him. He's having a career year this year.
But it can't just
be that big three, because at some point they're going to get banged up. It's just the reality. It's what we've seen. They're injury-prone guys, especially somebody like Beal, which we saw for years in Washington.
Oh, yeah.
Beal missed a lot of time. And Durant's just getting older now. Like, that's right. Things start hurting more, don't they?
They do.
They only start hurting more the more that you get older. So, you know, the big thing for me, though, if I'm looking at Phoenix, that should make you confident in them, is that the final 10 regular season games for the Suns were against teams that made the postseason. All 10 games.
Oh, wow.
They won 7 of those games. So they went 7-3 over their last 10 games against all playoff teams. So they're playoff tested in that sense, and they also went 2-0 against the Timberwolves over that stretch as well. So, I mean, the Suns have a ton of talent on the top end.
Yes.
But they're last in the NBA in bench points, 26 points a game. So they're going to need Grayson Allen for sure, Eric Gordon for sure. Maybe Thaddeus Young, who's like 150 years old, but has almost 60 playoff games under his belt.
Yeah.
That may be the guy that has to step up and play more minutes. Like, there's going to have to be somebody that maybe hasn't gotten a lot of minutes that steps up in the playoffs, even with shorter rotations, and contributes to this team if they want to make it through this, at least this series, then moving forward, too.
Well, come up next on the show, it is another chance for the Celtics to win the NBA title. Can they finally break through? We're going to look at the Eastern Conference playoffs. It is next on the Daily Tip from BetQL, presented by BetMGM. Great to have you with us on a Thursday.
The Daily Tip will be right back on the BetQL Network, presented by BetMGM.
All right. And now.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg. This is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Welcome back to the Daily Tip on the BetQL Network, presented by BetMGM.
Welcome back on a Thursday.
The Daily Tip from BetQL, presented by BetMGM. Double D, hit me with those keys. Like Double D is actually on the keyboard. But he is turning up the music.
I wish the camera got you. It was like mini headbanging that you did. It was just kind of like a little, just a little bit.
I like a good 80s keyboard.
But the hair didn't move, which is good.
Yeah, it stayed right where it needs to be. Look at that thing.
You need to just walk into the studio,
just
shake your head. Did you guys see? Did you see what that guy said to Caitlin Clark?
Lost by the hook.
Yes.
You know, something crazy.
A little dizzy after that. Yeah, moving my head around.
Yeah, don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
Coming up here in a couple minutes, the NBA playoffs are here, so we'll look ahead to all of the first round games in the Eastern Conference beginning tomorrow night. I'm just going to tell this straight out. So when I was preparing for the show yesterday, and I was writing down just some stats about Kevin Durant, and I wrote down, just had a brain freeze, I wrote down Kevin Devin, and I was like, don't say Kevin Devin on the air. But there was I don't think you were there when we were in TV together, but, and I'm not going to mention any name, this did not air, but there was a person in the newsroom.
Okay.
Who was never on air, who was given an opportunity to maybe do some work based on status.
Okay.
I'll say that.
Okay.
And I don't believe this person is in the business now.
Okay.
Was in for like a short time.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave this person the opportunity to shoot basically a reel or let some stuff on set to put some stuff together.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a story as part of this reel that was being put together, and it was about Muggsy Bogues, former NBA player.
Big fan.
Big fan of the short guys. Who doesn't love Muggsy Bogues? And so this story was put in the teleprompter for this person to read as part of this trial or this just exhibition, if you will. And it was read, former NBA star Mogus Bogus.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Mogus Bogus. Not Muggsy Bogues.
Oh,
Mogus
no.
Bogus. And let me tell you something. Mogus Bogus was a thing for about a year.
That is...
It was awesome.
That's an awesome name.
It was awesome. Of all the ways to mispronounce Muggsy Bogues, Mogus Bogus.
So, Mogus Bogus, what would that be besides a mispronounced name? Could it be a band's name, perhaps?
Oh.
Could it be a character in a cartoon? Could it be The Adventures of Mogus Bogus, a kid's story in a book? Like, the name Mogus Bogus could be used for so many things.
I feel like it's the latest scratch-off from the DC lottery. Mogus Bogus. You know? Match a Mogus and a Bogus and win at least $50 from the DC lottery.
Is it like the next type of Harry Potter series of books and movies where it's like, come on, kids, come sit around the fire as I tell you about the great story of Mogus Bogus. The legend of Mogus Bogus.
And his son, Kevin Devin.
Was this a former athlete?
I will say...
No. I need to know off the air, at least you need to tell me.
Yeah, I will say a woman... Not an athlete.
Okay.
Not an athlete, but it was one of those situations where we're like, you're very nice, but everyone who has been in this business knows that you really shouldn't be here. I hate to be that cruel, but it was like you are giving an opportunity based on something you have done and that has zero to do with broadcasting, but you're being given chances. They're putting you on the set and letting you tape all this stuff off air. They're wanting you to be something based on something that you've done.
Yeah.
Which has zero to do with... So all of us were like, listen, it took me forever to get here. Like, I was small, like a lot of people. And so, like, you just immediately just, like, came in, and this is not someone you would guess. Like, not a prominent name in DC circles.
All right, well, you're going to have to tell me
I'll tell you off the air.
Yeah.
I don't want to call the person out.
That's
fine.
You
wouldn't guess. This is not someone... No one would ever guess, so I'll tell you off the air.
Okay.
Mogus Bogus.
Mogus Bogus.
Not meant for this.
I love the name, though.
It's a great
name.
We
could do something with it. Mogus. The Adventures of Mogus Bogus.
Who doesn't love...
And Kevin Devin.
The first name, Mogus. It's a classic.
Mogus Bogus is the Mogus Bogus is the depressed, unhappy superhero with his job, and he goes around and helps people, but only with a bad attitude because he's sad about. I don't know. We'll work out the storyline for
this
a little bit.
We'll workshop it. Like he pulls down the top hat, Mogus Bogus, and it's always wrong. Like, you know, what he conjures up is always wrong.
He's a magician that's really bad. Instead of Hocus Pocus, it's Mogus
Bogus. He goes, Mogus Bogus! And what is this?
He's a struggling magician that can't get his tricks right.
Yeah, we're trying to stop this guy from breaking in a home, and like, you pulled a squirrel out of the hat, Mogus. What are you doing? You're not helping anybody.
Oh,
here.
No! Is that Mogus Bogus? No!
Well, no Mogus Bogus on the roster come Friday between the Wolves and the Heat. Do we have to talk about... Yes, we do. The Heat are laying 2.5 points. The Heat are -140 on the money line in Miami. The Bulls are +115. The total set at 208 and a hook. And the big story going into this game is that Jimmy Butler, it's not official, but we'd be stunned if he played after getting injured last night in the first half against the Sixers. Looked like some sort of MCL sprain of some sort. Hopefully it's not more serious than that. But it doesn't look like he's going to play. So that said, can the Heat still handle... I mean, they can. The Bulls in Miami, even without playoff Jimmy.
If they had Mogus Bogus, they definitely could. But yes. Since they're not going to have Mogus Bogus, Terry Rozier, actually, his status is going to be really important for this game. He missed, obviously, the game last night for the Heat. Hasn't played since April 7th. He's got a neck injury. If they can get him back, that offsets at least some of the loss of Jimmy Butler. But, again, you're not replacing Jimmy Butler if you're the Miami Heat.
Right.
But there's a reason why we don't just say Heat culture. They have a jersey that literally says Heat culture on it, even though I don't know why, considering Eric Spoelstra got like upset last year in a press conference because people kept bringing it up, which is a good thing. I don't know why it'd be like, I'm really mad that you guys are talking about Heat culture and saying nice things about it. Whatever, I don't get it. But you still have Bam Adebayo is going to have a big game there, and you're going to need, you know, you're going to need more from Duncan Robinson shooting, and you're going to need another game that you got from Tyler Hero from the outside, even though he only made 4 threes, shot 14, whatever, like still put up 25 points. Like, those are the types of things. Other guys are going to have to step up for the Heat to replace what Jimmy Butler is not going to bring to the table for them. They've still got enough there on that roster, especially against the Bulls team that is wildly inconsistent. I mean, you want to talk about inconsistent with the Pelicans, go look at the Bulls this season and the up and down they've had. Like, you're probably not going to get another 42 points from Kobe White, as great as he is and as great as the season is that he's had. You're probably not going to match that performance either, which certainly really helped the Bulls against the Hawks. The Bulls and Hawks are just two teams that don't deserve to be in the playoffs. I'm comfortable still taking the Heat. I'm comfortable in that short number where it sits, because it goes beyond just who's on the floor. It's what you've got mentally, and it's also the coaching. Eric Spoelstra can outcoach any coach in the NBA.
Yeah.
And he can absolutely do that against the Chicago Bulls. They won't be the same team without Jimmy Butler, and I don't like him in the first round after that. When, you know, when they're sitting there as an 8 seed against Boston, they may win one game if they don't have Jimmy Butler, if they're lucky. But they're beating the Chicago Bulls.
They have to, right? One prop that I would definitely look at is Tyler Hero. And
get right back on him again.
Get right back on him. Also, if you look back at the regular season, the Bulls allowed the most 3-point shots and the second most makes this season.
Cannot defend the three at all.
So if Jimmy's out, the Bulls can't defend the three, and you know the Heat are going to lean on Tyler Hero. Definitely look at his prop in that game. Let's go to Saturday. And we'll start with the Magic at the Cavs. Cavs are laying 4.5. The Cavs are -200 on the money line. The Magic are +165. Total 206 and a hook. Total has come down a point from 207.5. This should be an interesting series. I like the Cavs. I don't think the Magic are there yet. But the one thing the Magic do exceptionally well, is play great defense, which always travels. So they can sort of muck up things, and that's their best chance to win this series.
You know, it's interesting to look at the Magic, a team. You talk about how great defensively they are, and they're one of the best teams in the NBA at turning teams over. So they generate extra possessions, but they're not that great offensively. 22nd in offensive rating during the regular season, 22nd in three-point percentage, 23rd in three-point attempts in terms of that, like, per game. So they're not a great three-point shooting team. They're not an overly aggressive offensive team. They don't play the way a lot of teams play in the NBA right now, right, where you're stretching the floor a lot more, you keeping the lane open, you got a lot of guys on the outside. But, it, I mean, this comes down more than anything to Paolo Banchero and how he looks in the first postseason. Yeah. I mean, this is a guy that could be a future MVP in the NBA if he can be at an elite level, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, this is what we know. We've said this about multiple players in the playoffs. They have to play at an elite level for their team to advance. Why? Because it's the playoffs. And as we've seen, it's a lot different than the regular season. Just look at how guys have finished up the regular season and then looked in even just these play-in games to start. The Magic find ways to win even with their inefficiencies offensively at times, and that is because of their defense. I mean, they've got a winning record when they make less than 10 threes in a game. They're very few teams are able to do that in the NBA, where not knocking down a lot of threes can still win the games because they find other ways to do that. I like Orlando, but I'm also a big believer because we've seen this time and time again. Young teams have to go through some of the losses, get that experience in the playoffs. The Cavs do have that experience. Even though they've had some ugly series, some ugly games over the last couple of years, I do like the Cavs in this series. I think you're going to have some lower totals in this game, too. Yeah. Or not just in this series. Total sitting around, 207.5. It opened at 207.5, at least.
Yep.
So you're looking at probably some more defensive efforts. You're looking at some tougher shots, and you're not going to get a lot of threes from Orlando. So probably a little bit lower scoring, a little more physical, a couple of bigs for the Cavs on top of that. They're going to cause problems for the Magic at the rim. They like to get to the basket because they don't shoot a lot of threes. I like the Cavs in this series, but this could go about six games. Orlando could win a couple of games.
They can win it based on their defense, and also I don't want to oversimplify things, but sometimes things are very simple when it comes to maybe handicapping or looking at a series. And with Orlando, they have so little offense. Mm-hmm. Like, if you slow down Wagner and Banchero, who else is going to score for these guys? Do you know what I mean? Like, they rely on, we need these guys to produce, and we got to play lockdown defense, and that's how we're going to win. So you slow down their one or two offensive weapons, you're going to win. They just don't have anyone else that can put up points on a regular basis.
Yeah, I really love Orlando last year, I did bet them to win the division only because it was like 250-1, and you could kind of see where they were trending up. I knew they were a year away. I've been in on the Orlando Magic really all this season. That's the thing we talk about kind of regularly on BetMGM Tonight, where it's like, the Orlando Magic are a team that is without question on the rise, but there's still something missing there.
Yeah.
They're just still, they're like one player away. They're one, there's just not enough. I mean, you mentioned Franz Wagner and his ability to get out there and score. Like, he brings a lot to the table for them as basically their number two. But Jalen Suggs has been, he's great defensively, one of the better defenders they have on that team. But offensively, even though he's had a much better season shooting this year, you haven't had the consistency. Like, I'll just put it this way. I thought he would be a much better pro than he has been to this point.
Okay.
Like, who is your third option offensively if you're looking at the Orlando Magic? You know who it may be? Because he's got that playoff experience is Joe Ingles. Like,
could
that's
be.
Somebody that you brought in, brought that toughness, brought that ability. He's one of the few three-point shooters that they have on that team. So it's like, who else becomes the Suns, right?
Right.
Who's going to step up for the Suns coming off the bench that's going to add that extra layer that they need? Who is going to be that third option consistently for the Magic that's going to help them compete against the Cavs, who, without question, have to have Donovan Mitchell? If Donovan Mitchell is playing at a Donovan Mitchell level, you're in a great spot. If he's not, if you're the Cavs, you're in a, I mean, 15 of his last 21 games, he missed those, averaged just 14 points a game in the six games that he did play, and the Cavs were not good. So it's like, there is a chance here for Orlando, but if Donovan Mitchell's back to more of the Donovan Mitchell that we've seen, it's going to be really tough for Orlando to compete with what Cleveland brings to the table.
Did want to ask you about the Sixers and Knicks taking place on Saturday as well at the Garden. The Knicks are laying 2.5. The Knicks are minus 140 on the money line at BetMGM. The 76ers are plus 115. The total is set at 207 and a hook. So the question going into last night was, how healthy is Joel Embiid? Healthy enough. He may not be 100%, but certainly he looked great last night. And he has been an absolute monster since his return. Tyrese Maxey has stepped up. Maybe Tobias Harris is not. But ultimately, I think this is the Sixers series to win, and I'm just bummed that we don't get Julius Randle, even though in his absence, Jalen Brunson has been an absolute superstar and done a great job of carrying that team. OG Anunoby was a great addition as well. So I think the Knicks have, I don't want to say a puncher's chance, they have a better chance than that. I just feel like they're not really going to have an answer for Embiid.
The Knicks have been able to grind through the season with a lot of injuries. OG Anunoby missed a ton of time after they traded for him. We know how much Julius Randle's missed. Jalen Brunson's even missed some time. The Knicks have dealt with a lot. Mm-hmm. They've got depth. The key for me, there's two guys. Take OG Anunoby out of this.
Okay.
Take Jalen Brunson out of this. It's Dante DiVincenzo and Josh Hart. Hart. And I've loved just those are two great props markets to look at, too. When you talk to Dante DiVincenzo, now that he's in a role that's like, there was a while there where like everybody was out of the lineup. DiVincenzo, I will never forget. And I can't remember when this game was. It was when like Jalen Brunson was out, OG Anunoby was out. The Knicks had nobody. He went 1-for-9 from three in the first quarter of a game. Like, they just were like, you're Steph Curry now at this point. Just light it up. Just take all the shots you want. But Dante DiVincenzo had a career year this year, yet he's still not eligible for Most Improved Player. I don't know if you saw that, because you got to play at least 20 minutes in 65 games. It's not just the 65 games played. It has to be at least 20 minutes. That rule is going to go away. It's so dumb. But it's Dante DiVincenzo and his shooting, and it's Josh Hart, who for 418 games never had a triple-double in his career, and then had six over 24 games from January to March. He's stepped up in a huge way for them. Josh Hart and Dante DiVincenzo have got to be the same way in the playoffs in this series against the Sixers.
Coming up next on the show, we're talking NFL draft, and we'll look at receivers. It is the Daily Tip from BetQL, presented by BetMGM.
The Daily Tip will be right back on the BetQL Network, presented by BetMGM. Welcome back to the Daily Tip on the BetQL Network, presented by BetMGM.
Welcome back on a Thursday. What a good instrumental. Are my eyes closed? My eyes look closed.
You are very self-conscious today.
Yeah,
looking into that monitor.
Yeah, I knew it. It's because first of all, I don't like looking at myself, and then number two, I'm definitely self-conscious because of all that wine I had last night.
Blame the lighting in here.
That's what you do. It's the lighting. Everyone knows. I normally glow. Come on, get out of town. Hey, coming up next year on the show, we're going to talk receivers in next week's NFL draft. I was surprised. Maybe not surprised, but you are very passionate about this year's NFL. You're very excited. Like, I like the draft, but I will say, to your point, because we've talked about it a little bit off camera, is that there's a ton of talent in this year's draft,
yes,
which isn't always the case. You're like, oh, there's always talent. This year is a crazy amount of talent. We could see a lot of movement, and some years we kind of know how the draft is going to go. But outside of Caleb Williams, it is going to be a real roll of the dice.
This draft has the potential to be absolutely chaotic just because of the talent that's there at the most important positions. Quarterback, wide receiver, tackle, edge rushers, all of those are going to be, like, you can never have enough tackles. Really, you can't.
Yeah.
You can never have enough tackles. You can never have enough guys that can get to the quarterback. And there are going to be teams in the NFL draft, especially in the first round, but clearly beyond, I mean, that are going to make trades, that are going to move up or be willing to move down. It makes it a harder draft to bet on, but it also makes it a really intriguing draft in terms of the storylines and where things could go. So you got to kind of balance the, like, okay, how aggressive am I going to be betting on this draft?
Yeah.
And then how interested am I going to be just in the storylines and what actually happens as a sports fan? Because there's some people out there that just want to bet and don't actually care. Then there's actually people that bet that are sports fans. I'm a bettor that's also a sports fan. So I have to balance the, like, hey, I want to hit some bets here that really matter because you can make a lot of money on the draft. And then there's also the other side where it's like, I could be just absolutely so frustrated by the end of the first round because nothing made any sense and I've lost all my money.
Will you be influenced, or how much will you be influenced by the fact that, you know how it is, there's a lot of smoke and mirrors when it comes to the NFL.
Lying season.
Right, it is. So you'll hear, and Chelsea and I were talking about this last week, is remember last year it was only for a few hours where there was a rumor on X, Twitter, whatever.
Twitter. Just say it all. Just say it a bunch.
I love that website. It's like OnlyFans and Twitter XX Twitter. Those are the websites I go to. So Will Levis, for a couple years ago, was like, for about 2 or 3 hours, was like minus money to be the top overall player or quarterback taken, which is ridiculous.
Right.
Didn't even come close to happening. But that was purely based on conjecture and rumor and something that got out that people got a hold of and said, oh my God, it's time to put in our money now because this is going to happen. So that's why this market in particular is so difficult to bet, because certainly you can look in different aspects and say, okay, maybe this is a calmer area or more stable area in which I can put my money. But when it comes to these top 10 picks, I mean, what you hear one day can absolutely change 180 degrees the next.
A lot of lies are being fed by teams, by agents, by players, by whoever, just to manipulate the market one way or the other. Look at the Commanders. The Commanders hosted four quarterbacks. I had to do math because I make sure Caleb Williams was not there. They all went to Topgolf all at the same time. They're likely going Jaden Daniels at number two, but they still had Drake May there. They had Michael Penix Jr. there. They had Bo Nix there. All together, just because. They're not going to trade from that number two pick, but you know what they're doing? They're putting all the guys together. Mm-hmm. They're seeing how they interact, and they're making teams at least sit there and go, could they be willing to move down? Could they be interested in Michael Penix Jr.? Maybe they would trade. So everybody's doing whatever they can to manipulate it. It's why Draft Day, the movie, is fantastic. If anybody hasn't seen it, you need to watch it before the draft,
because
that gives you a great insight into how this stuff goes on behind the scenes. Look, I'm looking at one domestic here that has 4.5 quarterbacks as the total taken in the first round. It's minus 170 to the over. That's a very real possibility. You have four quarterbacks taken in the top four picks. And then on top of that, where does Michael Penix Jr. fall? Does Bo Nix get taken at the end of the first round? So you have a chance here for six quarterbacks in the first round, and teams then to say, wait, he's falling, or he's rising, and we really want him. So what do? Are you aggressive in trading up? Are you maybe aggressive in trading back and getting more assets because you can get that guy on the back end of the first round? And that's just quarterbacks.
I would absolutely lay 210. I know that's seems like a crazy number, but over 4.5 seems there are no slam dunk bets. We know this to be the case. But over 4.5 seems like a shoe-in when you look at the quarterback talent in this draft. Over 4.5 in the first round, I'd be all over that. What about Oh, go ahead.
No, the only thing I was going to say was keep in mind, too, teams may be willing to trade back into the first round late, like the Ravens did a few years ago with Lamar Jackson, because then you get that fifth-year option on a quarterback. And we know how expensive quarterbacks are, and it's a lot cheaper paying them on their fifth-year option than having to go through the will you pay him, won't you pay him a massive deal and pay him $50 million a year, because you've got to think about that. If they're a good quarterback, like the 49ers are already going to start having to think about Brock Purdy and what they're paying him. You don't have that five-year deal for a first-round pick for a quarterback. It makes a difference to these teams financially. Oh, no,
and you know how it is with teams in the NFL. They always fall in love with quarterbacks. So I can't imagine like a Bo Nix going in the second round, where I'm not debating, I'm not saying he's in that top tier. He's not, but he's not falling to the second round.
Right.
If some team needs some help at quarterback, they're going to take a flyer on a quarterback who potentially maybe surprises them, becomes a star in the NFL. That's just how the NFL is built. What about receivers? A lot of talented receivers taken, will be taken in this draft, from Marvin Harrison Jr., Roma Dunze, Malik Nabers, Ladd McConkey. I like this market a lot, and I really like, even though I know he's not a receiver, Brock Bowers will entice a lot of teams because he's such a matchup problem. So, again, different position, but also if you're looking for receiving help, a tight end that is a huge advantage, because a top-tier tight end, as we know, can make a massive difference because they're too big for a corner to cover, and then they're too fast for a linebacker to cover. So that's why we see these elite tight ends in the NFL thrive. So I tend to put him in that mix, because a guy like that, if you say, yeah, we need a receiver, but this guy is such a unicorn that maybe we could use him. I like him to go to the Jets at 10.
I don't think he falls past the Jets at 10.
No.
I really don't. I think Brock Bowers to the Jets at 10 is absolutely perfect, unless they want to address the offensive line more, which, listen, the Jets went out in free agency and at least tried to address a clear need that they had, because you kind of need to protect Aaron Rodgers, given the fact that your season was basically over before it started last year when he got hurt. But it's going to be really tough for them to pass on a guy that could be an all-time, we're talking all-time great tight end in Brock Bowers. So I don't think he falls past 10. I know the Chargers have just had a visit with him. The Chargers have been rumored to at least be interested with him at 5. But again, they also could be a team that trades back in the draft. So do the Chargers trade back a few picks and still maybe take Brock Bowers? I would if I'm the Chargers. They have a lot of needs now because they traded away every receiver that they have.
No question. And you can get, if you're interested in this market, you can get, now the Jets are the favorite, but you can get Brock Bowers to the Jets at 10 plus 150. Maybe not as much value as you would like, but I absolutely see that. I'm with you. I can't see a guy that talented falling out of the top 10. If you're looking at receivers right now, how do you rank these receivers, and how many receivers go in the first round?
So I'm looking, again, that same domestic that I had as 6.5 receivers.